Hello, welcome back to yet another episode of Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Joining me today from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Ryan Schroeder, back with the program as he has been for the previous season. Joining me from Walker Lot, nope, from College Station is Walker Lot. Walker Lot is not joining us from Walker Lot. Walker Lot.
That might be the first, I'm going to cut you off because that might be the first time you've ever messed that up in the history of this.
And it really is.
Because, and you know what? I think it's a good thing because we're going to be celebrating the 100 episodes today because we started it at the beginning and I just remembered it. So shout out to this. I believe this is episode 103. So pretty cool. We did 100 episodes of these things, especially for not doing like in the spring and summer mini episodes. We're already at 100, guys. That's pretty dang cool. Congratulations.
Congratulations to everyone associated with the program, including No Context, TXPS. His efforts shall not go unmentioned.
Yeah, the GOAT truly of TXPS is No Context.
The nameless, faceless, anonymous GOAT. But yeah, no, I mean, it's really crazy to think without getting all gushy and cliche that we actually made it here. I think I saw a stat that like 95 or 98% of podcasts end after like before their 10th episode. So we're 10 times that. So for better or for worse. Ryan Schroeder, I haven't gotten to you yet. Number one, how are you? Number two, thoughts on the big 104?
No, it's good. Yeah, I don't really know what number this is, but whatever number it is, doesn't matter. You know, it's super exciting to, you know, be able to come back and for this to be as strong as it is and stuff too. I think the biggest thing was like being able to continue it. I ironically, I think I saw something on my LinkedIn today that said like, you've been with Texas Private School Media for 3 years and 11 months. And I was like, that's crazy. And like, technically this would be, you know, year five, because we started, you know, my freshman year of college and now I'm out of college. Like just kind of a crazy thing to think about in the grand scheme of things. And
dude, you look like a child when we first started.
I had the beanie on and now I got a little bit of facial hair growing too. It looks a little different now than it used to, but living in new cities, new places, kind of crazy how it all works out.
It is weird how those things work out, but Thunder. Yeah. Obviously, incredibly grateful to everyone as well that's gotten us here. Obviously, as cliche as it is, we're not here without people that actually watch what we do. So thank you. And we're going to continue to do it as long as we enjoy it, which I don't see drying up in the near future. But that being said, as mentioned off top, this is a preview episode. We are previewing week 4 already, which I don't know how it's here. However, I'm not letting Walker Lot off the hook. Very quickly, we're continuing the trend. I have an album for you. Actually, I have two by the same artist. You just got to name, I'm going to say 5 songs. And if you can't get to 5, Ryan can help you out. Should be a little easier because you mentioned it last week. It's Tyler, the Creator. Got the albums Igor and Flower Boy with me.
Yes.
Has some pretty big songs. Walker.
Does it have to be off those two albums?
It can be off of any album.
Okay. Let me think about this. It should be pretty easy because this is actually a guy I listen to. Lumberjack. Flower Boy. No, is that album?
No, Flower That's Boy just, is not a song. It's just the album.
It's just the album. Run It Up off his new one. Trying to think of other ones. Maybe Yes Forever. Is that See You Again?
That is See You Again. That's probably his biggest commercial hit.
Yeah, no. I was thinking the Charlie Puth song. So I was like, wait, is that not the right song?
that's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. What other ones? New Magic Wand.
Maybe his best.
Truly. Earthquake.
Yep, that's 5.
Yeah. Cool.
Ryan, can you name me 3 songs that he did not name?
No, because I just looked it up and I don't want to cheat. And I do that every time. But I was going to shout out, I made Kevin Daughtard a mix to What's Your Name back, 3 years ago when he was at Lake Country. There's an awful, awful, awful mixtape on my videography account to What's Your Name. And it's funny, but it's so random. But yeah, Kevin Daughtard, a very, very funny mix back in the day.
I feel like every album that I pull, you've made a mix with one of the songs on it. This is like the second time that's happened.
Yes, so. It's just how it works.
I was looking at this. There's some good songs like that I didn't even name. Running Out of Time, I think.
Running Out of Time.
Igor. I know I say this about every album I pull, but it's why I have them on vinyl. Igor is up there like my top five favorite albums ever.
So it's, do you is that his best album?
Yeah, I think Igor is his best album. Conceptually, it's perfect. See You Again is what Flower Boy is what kind of broke him into like mainstream pop, whereas he's kind of a shock rap artist. But again, every time we do this, I get like going on a Patrick Bateman moment, but it's good stuff. But that being said, that is Music with Walker Lott. The first one you passed, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That we might see if that's a free lunch. The jury's still out on that, but that's not why we're here. Surprisingly, we're here to preview the five games, the five TXPS Media games of the week, and we will start with one of our adopted schools between Walker and I, Bay Area at Brazos Christian. The Brazos Christian Eagles are a 13.5-point favorite. Ryan, what's the team that Bay Area is playing?
Brazos Christian.
There we go.
Is that correct?
There we go. That is correct. No, it's a soft O. This Friday, the Mustangs will take Highway 6 Northwest to do battle with TAPS Division 4 contenders Brazos Christian. Bay Area has started the season nicely after dropping to an independent schedule in 2024. They are 2-1 this season with wins over Shiner St. Paul and a 40-point blowout of Conroe Covenant. The Mustangs were able to stifle the Eagles' ground game when these two teams met last year, pulling out a 21-12 victory. However, Brazos Christian is out to make a statement in 2024. Quarterback Cooper Murr is rounding into form in his sophomore season, and with weapons like Truett Goodyuck and Jackson Caffey to sling it to, with Ben Tillery protecting him and Brody Garner applying pressure. I like the Eagles in this contest. I don't think there's a whole lot to say. I think Bay Area is solid. I think, like Coach Washington told me before the season, I think this is kind of the season where things really start to click for Brazos Christian. I think it's really them and First Baptist in D4. Maybe Bay Area can make some noise and prove me wrong, but with the information I have available to me, I really have to go with the Eagles in this spot. Walker Lott, what is your opinion?
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet. Eagles. It's homecoming. You schedule a team on your homecoming for a reason. I think this is gonna be a good one. I'm excited to see Cooper Murr. I'm excited to see all the guys out there. Not much else to say, but I'm excited to see Barry Landon Hall, the linebacker over there. He's a good prospect, and I'm excited to see what he can do in this one. So give me the Eagles. Yes,
Walker Lott. You say that. You know who we scheduled for homecoming my junior year?
Who's your schedule?
Trinity Christian Cedar Hill.
Well, that's just dumb. Dumb.
You know, I was actually just about to bring that up with mine. We scheduled Deuce Hogan and Grapevine Faith my senior year. So, you know what? Some things aren't always true across all schools. Sometimes you try to give yourself a challenge, I guess.
Well, to be fair, the previous year, Trinity was bad, and we beat them badly, and we didn't know that Dion was going to fly. Somebody wrote an article about this a long time ago. Ryan Schroeder, Bay Area plays at Brazos Christian this Friday. Brazos is a 13.5-point favorite. Your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I think Brazos is coming together this year, man. 3-0 start. You got a public school win last week. I'm really liking how things are shaping out for the team this year in total. I'm a big fan of Brazos. I know that, you know, now that we have two student analysts over there as well, we've gotten a lot of insight from how things have been and stuff. And sounds like the guys are ready to go this week for their homecoming matchup. Team like Bay Area is really good this year as well, but I think the 3-0 Eagles are where I'm going. I got Brazos as well.
Yeah, and this could always be a spot where we're kind of falling into an information bias of sorts, where we have a lot of information on Brazos Christian and perpetually never a ton on Bay Area. So this would be a good opportunity for us to get proven wrong and be like, we need to look at Bay Area. But like I said, with the information available, I'm going to ride for the brand. Moving on. Fort Worth Country Day at Trinity Valley. Fort Worth Country Day is a 3.5-point favorite. This here is a contest that could go a long way in determining the shakeout of SBC 3A. TVS is 1-2 coming into the contest with a 26-point win over Southwest Christian, sorry, Walker, and two crushing losses at the hands of Fort Worth Christian and Episcopal School of Dallas, where they were outscored by a combined margin of 82-3. Senior quarterback Beckett Durnan takes over for the departed Gavin Parkhurst, and he will look to find junior wide receiver Charlie Buliak, I think, to try to get the Warriors some breathing room. We have raved previously about the talent of senior running back Ben Nagishu. If the development he made from last year is half of what he made that it was the year prior, TVS should have a man toting the rock for them in this contest. Let's flip to Fort Worth Country Day. The Falcons have surprised by coming out hot, besting St. Mark's, McKinney Christian, and Colleyville Covenant in consecutive weeks. Senior quarterback Connor Davidson has been efficient thus far, whether through the air or on the ground, as he accounted for every single Falcons touchdown in the win against St. Mark's. Junior running back Fox Burton will also be a guy to watch. Regardless of records, I think this game is close. Country Day has beaten two bad teams, and TVS has gotten clipped by two really good teams. I rode the momentum with Holy Cross last week, and I'm going to do the same with Country Day in this spot. I really do think it's a close game. I think if you get trapped into looking at records, you could be thrown off in your prediction of the margin of this game. However, again, Country Day, not a team that we traditionally have a ton of insight on. TVS a little bit more so. Obviously, people are going to say that TVS is a little bit down coming into the season solely because of the departure of their two best players. I like what Country Day is doing so far. I think, and we've said previously, they have a legitimate shot to shake up 3A. I'm going to bet on them to do it here. I really do think they have a good chance, and it'll be a fun game to have an eye on this Friday. Walker.
Did you know, I think since 2018-2019, so our senior year, Wes, okay? Trinity Valley's only won this game once.
Because Coach Morrison... it is more Coach Morrison, correct?
Yes, it is.
Because he told us at the retreat that it's Country Day that they can almost never get past.
And I think they don't get a pass in this one as well. I think Country Day wins in this one. I think it's going to be an upset of the century. I think Country Day has always been a solid solid team, and I think they have the upset in this one. They finally won one last year, and that's with Gavin Parker's at the helm. They don't have no Gavin Parkhurst anymore. I think that's a big loss for them in this one. Ben Negushu is a great running back, like we've always said all year. I just think Country Day gets it in this one, and I think history's on their side in this one as well. Ryan, what do you think?
I like that. Ryan, I hope you don't make the same choice.
I am a Fort Worth Country Day. Well, can I say this, though? I said this the last recap, too. I have never been big on TVS. I think losing Gavin and what's his name? The other transfer as well from
Maynard.
Yeah, Jacob Maynard. I think both of those are huge losses. Huge losses, almost like program changing losses and stuff. Hence why I think TVS is in a full downfall. But also Connor Davidson is just like that. So it's like I think two things going Country Day's, you know, direction, in my opinion, is going to help them start 4-0 and help them have a chance of winning SBC 3A this year.
Oh, Lord help us. I never like when we're all on the same side of a game. But our pick records last week did fine with that being so. So we'll see if that shakes out in this scenario. Moving on to a game that I will be at this Friday, Dallas Christian versus Prestonwood at Wheeler Field. Prestonwood is a 13.5-point favorite. A brawl of Texas private school heavyweights will take place this Friday in Mesquite. Dallas Christian deals with a lot of turnover from their state championship season in 2023. However, senior Syracuse commit Luke Carney still leads the Chargers into battle, and he's got some pieces around him. Senior running back Titus Muse Jr. ran for 264 yards and 4 touchdowns in the Chargers' previous contest, whereas Carney's passing was distributed pretty evenly between 5 different receivers. Senior wide receiver Mike Amata really appears to be coming into his own on that front. Stone Bailey and Ram Small will lock up the defensive end. When we flip to Prestonwood, it appears that Luke Glass and TJ Hobbs are still both jockeying for that quarterback one spot, whereas Glass has been impressive in that starter role this far this season. Junior Matthew McClain has been a monster on the season, and Enzo Bingham will be there for Glass or Hobbs to hit as well. I know Caden Collins did not play in the fourth quarter of the Bastrop game, which could be a big loss if he's not ready to go, but Tekashi Shaw would be more than ready to pick those reps up. On the defensive side of the ball, it's David Madison and Jack Harwell. DC, although undersized, typically has quality hogs up front, and if anyone's going to test that, it's going to be big number 88. All in all, this comes down to a depth thing for me. That's how Cornerstone was able to wear down DC, and I think that Prestonwood will follow a similar script. I'm going to take Prestonwood to win this game, and I know that we've talked at length about Holy Cross and how good Holy Cross is in D3 and how they might be the favorites. for the first time ever since this program started, we might be underrating Dallas Christian. DC, you know, doesn't lose everything. Luke Kearney, who has won the previous three state championships as a starting quarterback, is still there. They still have guys they brought in that are very good. I really like Mike Amata, who's coming into his own. They're going to be fine in D3. They're going to absolutely rail that district, and they shouldn't face any significant competition until they get to the state championship game, presumably against Holy Cross. It's just Prestonwood, in my opinion, is one of the best teams, regardless of division, in all of TXPS. I've said that since the beginning of the season, even barely losing to All Saints. I still think that they have incredible athletes on both sides of the ball. If DC can keep this close, it's a huge win for them. It's just Prestonwood has so many more players, so many fewer guys going both ways. It's got to be the Lions.
Yeah, I was going to do this whole spiel, but I think you said it basically perfectly from my point of view. So give me Prestonwood in this one for all the reasons you kind of just said.
Right.
Yeah, I hate to say it as well, but I'm also in that same vein of thinking that Prestonwood's a top four team in all of private school. It's literally, and this year they have the ranking, or they have the position to even give Parrish a game this year. I've been saying that this whole time. I thought they were going to beat All Saints. I think Prestonwood is very good this year. I am very high on all their assets, whether that be Luke Glass or TJ Hobbs at the helm. And then you have on the running side, Caden Collins, Takashi Shaw. I mean, there's just so much depth, like we just keep saying. So I don't know, man. I'm really big on Kearney and Muse, but it really just comes down to the fact that Prestonwood's played good teams, very good teams at that, with the loss to All Saints. DC has a loss to Cornerstone. And I think you're exactly right. Cornerstone beat them because Cornerstone's just a bigger school. And has the depth. So I'm really high on Prestonwood, though. And I don't think that's anything to say on DC, because I think DC is still a D3 powerhouse. But I think Prestonwood gets it done here for sure.
What I will be interested to see is how DC competes at least through the first half, because I think that depth will certainly wear them down. But if we get to halftime and it's, a touchdown game, that will really tell me, okay, like, DC is here regardless of what we think anywhere else. I mean, that's really what I'm looking for. Obviously, it's not what DC fans want to hear. They want to hear me say, like I said, the last 3 years are a rolling ball of chainsaws that will obliterate anything that comes into their path. I just don't know if a chainsaw can pierce a lion. We'll see on Friday, but it's going to be an interesting It's going to be an interesting concept to experiment with. Moving on to a game down in Austin. Brownsville St. Joseph's will travel there to take on Regents. Regents is a 36.5 point favorite. That's a big, big number. The Knights are back at home Friday to take on a Brownsville St. Joseph's squad that has quietly started the season 3-0. Two words are all you need to describe St. Joseph's: Claudio Torres. The former wide receiver has been moved to running back this season and has seen no drop-off in his production. 203 yards and 4 touchdowns against Veterans Memorial, 203 touchdowns against Carroll. He's going to get his, but he'll be up against some significant competition in the entire region's offense. I think St. Joseph's, can put up some points, but they're not going to slow down the region's machine. I mean, you've got Jack Devine, Blake Smith, you've got Graham Reinches on the defensive end. I think it's another depth thing where Regents just has dudes everywhere and then dudes behind them. Walker, you've seen this team in person. I'm going to take Regents in this squad. Is there any reason to think that St. Joseph's can clip them off?
I do definitely think there is, but I'm also going to take Regents in this one. I think they always say it. Like, I was talking to guys there. It's how this game is going to play out is probably how it's been played out for the past 5 years. And going into halftime, it's going to be a close game because those dudes are going to go after it, and they're going to be tougher than most teams they're going to play all year. And then I think in the second half, is Regents is going to win by 2 scores. I think that's how it's going to play out. I think it's going to be a tough first half, and then the second half, I think Regents pulls out the win. But Claudio Torres, I think, like I said on the space last week or last Friday, I think he's probably the most underrated player in all of TXPS because of where he's located. No one's ever really get No one gets to see him. But if you turn on that tape, that film does not lie. And he's one of the most explosive, energetic, electric players in all of TXPS. His versatility is why he's been an all-state receiver for like 2 straight years now. I think also they have the best, like the guy says himself, I think the best offensive lineman in TXPS this year is Diego De La Cruz out down there at the tackle spot. You combine those two, and I believe, I forget the quarterback's name. I think it's a Gallegos. I think it's another Gallegos down there. Yeah, but you have all three of those together, you have a pretty good squad. I just don't think they get it over in this one. I just don't think it this year. But, hey, they beat a 6A team. I mean, that's impressive. This is a different team that we're usually seeing of Brownsville does good in district, but then they lose in round one. This could be a different Brownsville team this year.
It certainly could. Ryan, what's your opinion on the contest?
I don't think people at Brownsville are going to like this that much, but I don't see another loss on this region's schedule. If anything, it's this game is the closest one they have. Definitely not Grace Community by any means, but I'm just kidding. No, seriously though. Their season is wrapping up to be 9-1, right? Your only loss being Kincaid. I don't think they lose a single game in district. And in this Brownsville St. Joseph game, non-district game doesn't really fit that criteria that I think as well. And even with that, I still think they're going to win by, multiple scores. I think 2 or 3 scores is what you're looking at here for this region's team. And Jack Devine to Blake Smith is quite literally one of the most unstoppable combos this year from a quarterback wide receiver combo. I think the chemistry is there more than anything else. Obviously, you add different guys in other teams, add Gavin Parkhurst into Liberty, and with Brady Janicek, you're going to have good play. But I'm saying from a purely chemistry perspective, that is truly Jack Devine and Blake Smith. With all that being said, Brownsville St. Joseph going up to regions, 6 o'clock game. I don't know. I don't really think it favors Brownsville St. Joseph at all, and I think regions wins by 2-3 touchdowns.
Would it be lazy for me to compare Blake Smith to another short white slot receiver like Cole Beasley? Because that's who he reminds me of. I mean, he's just like, if you can think of somebody better, but like just the electricity he plays with seems similar.
I mean, I could say all the same guys that went through the Patriots at that exact same position.
Exactly.
Danny Amendola, like all of them. Like
the Wes Welker action, yeah.
Yeah, Wes Welker. I mean, truly.
Okay. What about what's the wide receiver for Clemson that went to play for the Raiders? That slot wide receiver like 7 years.
I knew exactly who he was. He was balding in college.
Yes, he was. That's not you, Smith. But I think what makes him good is his off the line and his footwork off the line. That first, like, just for a 3-step slant like you saw in the game, 3 steps, boom, he cuts, makes a play, and then he's golf. That's kind of how he is. So I forget his name.
Are you seeing Hunter Renfro?
Yes. Hunter Renfro.
Raiders legend?
Hunter Renfro. I think that's a great comparison than Cole Beasley. But also, Cole Beasley was a dog, man. He was. Good times.
He was a dog. But that being said, we will keep a close eye on that contest as we move in to the final matchup we will preview on this episode. Fort Worth All Saints at Episcopal School of Dallas, where All Saints is a 14.5-point favorite. The Saints will take a short-ish drive east Friday afternoon to do battle with the Eagles of Episcopal School of Dallas. All Saints has solidified themselves early as the favorite in Division II. Starting the season off with wins over monster programs such as Parrish and Prestonwood, as well as Lift for Life Academy, which I'm still not entirely convinced is a real school. However, Parkhurst has been even better than advertised, as has Quamonte Williams, Hudson Rezor, and Cole Palfreeman, and Ian Bothwell. Defensively, Dalton Knapp is one of my favorite prospects in the state. If there's one guy whose tape you haven't seen yet, watch his. He is an animal. Supplemented with guys like Bryce Anderson, Donovan Hollis, Jacob Maynard, and Caden Richardson, the Saints are stacked. However, ESD is much better than people realize. The Eagles took it to an elite Second Baptist squad last week, and quarterback Jake Gerke has some weapons in Siler Cook, Dario Beneglia, and William Taylor. However, I think the cards say that this year is the year of the Saints, and far be it from me to bet against them in this spot. I mean, listen, I've sung ESD's praises even after the loss last week. They look really, really good. It's just All Saints is rolling. And again, kind of as a theme this season, I'm not betting against momentum. I really like All Saints. The amount of talent they've amassed is second to none. The coaching staff they built is incredible. And especially in this spot, I've got to take All Saints as my camera cuts out. Walker, what say you?
You know where I'm from. You know the city. 817 Fort Worth, Texas. Give me the Saints. Give me the Saints in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Give me All Saints. This is like my Lee Corso putting on the helmet or the mascot head. Give me. I mean, I've said it forever. I think Gavin Parkhurst is one of the best we've ever seen. I think he's the real deal, and he's just electrifying. And I think you have all those guys around him and on offense. It's hard to stop. And give me the Saints.
Completely agree. Ryan Schroeder, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the All Saints has played two incredibly hard non-district games and Lift for Life Academy. I don't know how good they are, but yeah, it's Parrish and Prestonwood are incredible games off rip. And ESD's played Prestonwood as well. I mean, not from a comparison perspective, I don't want to put it like that, but ESD gets blown out 42-7 and Prestonwood, you know, they All Saints beats Prestonwood in a battle, right? The other thing to say about that too is the fact that ESD did look good against Second Baptist this past week. I mean, I will say that as well. But yeah. Oh, by the way, I just want to go back on that. When I said Gavin Parker's to Brady Janusek, I meant Quinn Murphy moving in to Brady Janusek. That's what I meant. Just to qualify that. But this specific game, Gavin Parker's has been going off this year. I think All Saints looks quite incredible. And yeah, I don't know. I think ESD has challenged themselves as well, but they both challenged themselves with a pretty hard non-district schedule. But yeah, All Saints in total definitely is the winner here. And I think by a couple touchdowns, if not more.
I think so too.
I'm going to say that this is going to be a good middle ground to see how Second Baptist does versus how All Saints does. You know, this is going to be the game where when it comes down to maybe in December when we're like, what's the game that they've both played? It's going to be one of these games to see for in your you're not going to be watching this game, but you know how these teams play, Wes. So you're going to be able to kind of see, all right, how do each of them play each other? And I think it's going to be interesting one to see.
I agree. I mean, like you said, the transitive property at the end of the day is almost all that we have to go off in terms of analysis. And thank God for ESD being here to be the measuring stick for All Saints and Second Baptist. Not to say that ESD is going to lay down and be the measuring stick in this game. I really do think after watching them last week, they're going to come out and probably show some effort regardless of what happened against Prestonwood. 14.5 seems like an appropriate line. I think All Saints at the very least pulls away at the end, but that's why the game's played on the gridiron and not on paper. It will be a fun one to watch. But gentlemen, that being said, that concludes the five games of this week. As I just realized, we all were on the same side of every game. So inevitably, we will have a screenshot next episode to show you of all of us being wrong on a pick and getting clowned on Instagram for it. But that is what.
I don't know the last time we've done that. Have we?
I don't know either.
Y'all probably did that last year a couple times, but all three of us on the same game for all five of the slate is kind of crazy.
It is. I don't think we've done it this year yet. Yeah, no, it is. We will see. I was looking at the pick sheet and I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of games. We're going to have a lot of,
this is also the week that it's like, I think all of TAP's D1 District 2 is off of the bye. Like, I think it's a lot of those where like everyone's out on the bye for week four. So,
well, a lot of SBC teams, maybe it's just 3A, are starting district this week. So that's also different as well. But yeah, definitely some of these non-district games are kind of ended up here getting to the end before October.
I can't believe we're almost in October. We're almost what? Almost halfway into the regular season. That's wild. That shouldn't be a real thing, but we will be here throughout all of it to give you at least interesting, if not accurate, analysis of what's going on in the private school space. But barring any further comment from either of you, this has been the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I have been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you on Monday afternoon with the recap of this action. See you later.